A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Chicken
fucker! I like
fucking.
Legit
fat
podcast.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Yes.
All right, welcome to Legit Bat, everyone. Welcome in the live chat, and as always, if you're listening on audio, you can hear us live on rockfin.com/legitbat, and you can send us tips like Corey did. Thank you, Corey. But if you've never gone on one of our live streams, it's pretty fun because everyone can talk shit in the chat, and I can delete and block you if you're an asshole, so it's fun for me, too. But tonight,
Never happened.
Just once so far, but I got rid of him real fast. We have False Reality Check, Buffalo and Legs, and then we got Davey Wavy from the Red Pill Cartel. Both shows are relatively new. I mean, even newer than ours, which is crazy. We'll start with you, Buffalo and Legs. Tell us about your show and what's been going on with you guys.
So yeah, we're more recently awakened, I guess, people, and we just decided to start a show because we watched everybody have fun doing it, and we decided to dive in, and we wanted to connect with people, form a community online of like-minded people. And we are also getting out of California, so this is kind of also documenting our leave from Chinafornia.
Yeah. Hey-o.
Heading towards a more sustainable, self-sustaining, I should say, lifestyle.
In Idaho.
Yeah. Like I'm going to be transitioning away from my career, full-time career, to probably more stay-at-home wife type work / let me go hunting to get the dinner type work. So
fishing,
I'm looking forward to that. Well, he's still going to work full-time for a little bit, but eventually that'll fade away.
Yeah.
You said more sustainable. My first thought was a more sustainable everything.
Yeah. I meant to just say self-sustaining. But yeah. That's what it's up.
Oh, sorry, I cut you off.
Oh no, you're good. You're good. Go ahead.
The lag on Zoom is fucking awful. It drives me nuts because you think somebody's done talking and then it comes through a half second later. Constant.
Well, and I apologize in advance if I try to jump in and accidentally cut somebody off. I can tell based on my stream right now that I am really bad on the internet.
Yeah, you're a little laggy. You look weird. But that's nothing new.
It's not full potato yet, so it's okay.
Davey, tell us about your show and what's going on with you up in Canada, Chinatown.
Chinada? Chinada, that's what we call it now. Because our prime minister is a cuck and sold us out of China. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I started the Red Pill Cartel about 2-3 months ago. And I was inspired by my friend Nico from Upstate Unconventional. He just out of the blue asked me if I had any paranormal experiences. And I said, yeah, dude, I got tons, right? So I went on his show and then he was like, you know what? Seems like a lot of fucking fun. I think I'm going to do it, you know? So I just started my own. But I've been listening to like Tripoli for like 3 years now. You know what I mean? Like Tripoli and a bunch of other shows. Like Rogan, I kind of tapered off on because I think he's kind of a little bit of a sellout. So, but yeah, I just started my own. It's picking up steam already. So, yeah, man. So my show is really all about just like I get somebody on. I get a little bit of the background of them, what they know about. And then I ask some questions. But we mainly just get like, you know, I get drunk and shoot the shit. And ask some questions and make a joke out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds a lot like our show.
Yeah, that's basically what we do.
Yeah, dude.
Try not to take it too seriously. You know, there's enough dark, serious shows out there and that I listen to. Yeah.
I get a lot of dark information too, but I kind of try to twist it into a positive thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to do that. Stay positive. There's too much negativity right now.
Exactly. I know people that are like really negative and they have like absolutely zero fucking hope for humanity right now or zero hope for the future. You know what I mean? Like they're just like, everybody's gonna fucking die. I'm like, relax. We don't know that. You know what I mean?
Well, but it's easy to do. It's permeated every aspect of all of our lives. You can't take a shit and get your phone out without seeing and just all day, every day. So as much as I'm like, yeah, you guys are sheep. You guys should, you know, open up your minds a little bit. I can't believe I'm fucking saying this. You should open up your minds a little bit and like, you know, be more positive. Like your life is what you want to make it. But at the same time, especially when you talk about things like California or Seattle or Portland or any of those large West Coast or East Coast cities or any of those main metropolises where it's all blue, it's like they push it so hard. You can't get away from it. I can understand why it just holds people down to the point where they're like, fuck, I fucking like Corey. Where's the fucking meteor? Just take me out. Can we wrap this shit up? Like,
that's where, if you're surrounded by it too, people are just constantly saying negative things around these people that are in these major cities. So they're hearing it and being judged. And if they're not getting the vaccine, or if they just even have some questions or some apprehensions, you know, they're judged for being anti-vax or, you know, against the government or a Republican or a Trump supporter or things they might not even be close to being. They're just questioning something and you don't even get to do that anymore. So
she said hunting. You can't even talk about guns. If you say anything about I support the Second Amendment, you are immediately thrown into a box of everything that they think you stand for.
Yeah.
I agree. It's pretty crazy just trying to go hunting here in California. We recently tried to get some cottontail and jackrabbit. I always feel weird walking around with a 22 rifle because someone will look at it and think, oh my God, it's a rifle. Like,
oh God,
you kill anything, you know?
It's an assault rifle.
Yeah. So
it's a scary gun.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can get 22s that look like AR-15s, and people will call that a scary rifle, but they'll look at a 30-06 and be like, oh, that's fine. It's just for hunting.
Why
like the 30-06 will fuck up your day way worse.
Way bigger.
Oh, dude.
I have that gun too, and not just the gun. Yeah. You know, like kind of judge the human carrying the gun.
Joe, I have a BB gun called an M4-117. 117 is the caliber of the BB. It looks identical to your AR-15. But it shoots BBs. I could maybe kill a dove with it. Like, that's about it. And yet, if I were to take that out in public, people would be shitting their pants calling the cops.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. How is that looking over in your neck of the woods, Davey, as far as gun stuff is? I have no idea what Canada's gun stance is.
Oh, my God. they just announced that you have to be double vaxxed to get your gun license now.
Oh, does that have anything to do with guns?
Right?
It has nothing. As a matter of fact, I would like to keep my guns so that I can stay unvaxxed.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus. Luckily, I have a place to go to about 4 or 5 hours north of here. My brother lives off grid, so if shit hits the fan, I'm going right up there.
Perfect.
I heard you talking about with the homie Matt. I think that's who you're talking about with. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, man, it's crazy, dude. Him and I are the only ones in our family that haven't taken the jab. I'm the youngest of five, and he's the oldest.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I can't say that for me. Every single person in my family has taken it,
and yet nobody in me and Joe's family has taken it whatsoever. All five kids are like,
and your parents, even your like,
and my parents
are like, fair, not
to be fair.
I don't have the button up. Damn it!
They do it because they're like, well, we don't think that God wants us to do that, and I'm like, okay, that's fair. Religious exemption is a thing. You know what I don't like? Big government. I don't like anybody telling me that I have to do something that I don't have to do. What's that?
So that's extremist talk.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Tone it down, Ben. Jeez.
Do my American flags offend you?
A little bit. Just because it's on you.
Well, maybe Dave, but sorry.
Freedom is terrible.
No, not at all. Honestly, I'd rather be a fucking American at this point.
Hey, there you go. All right. I won't ever ask you again if you're fucking Canadian, because that statement right there, you're good.
You're good. You're America.
America.
America. America. What do they call it? A naturalized citizen. We have just naturalized you. You're welcome.
There you go.
Do you guys have a feeling, though, that this is going somewhere better? We've talked about this quite a bit lately in the you know, trying to keep things positive, it seems like it's coming to some kind of a head. Like we're right. She calls it like the eye of the storm. Like we're in this weird bubble, like right before something. Is it good? Is it bad? Or I have a feeling that's going to get pretty fucking gnarly in the next couple years or maybe months. And then I hope it gets better after that. Maybe that's my optimistic side, but what do you guys think this is going?
Yeah. I think it's going to get a little worse before it gets better, but I feel like whatever plan they had in motion was abruptly stopped somehow, or it's being resisted. And the reason I say that is because their shit's all fucking up. Like all their plans are fucking up right now, right? Nothing's going according to plan. Everybody's resisting. There's protests all over the world. The news doesn't show you that, but the news is bullshit to begin with. So I think I wouldn't say it's going in our favor, but I would say it's not fully going in their favor. So it's gonna be like a ruckus for a bit, but we're gonna get through it. I'm kind of white-pilled in that way. I always have hope in humanity. Like, there's people here in this chat right now. There's people that are on this show right now. We are the change. And that's why I have hope, because we're not staying quiet. And that's why I think we're going to a light kind of, you know, or higher vibratory plane or whatever is going to happen. Yeah.
I had a lot of fear about speaking out. And when I just said, screw it, I'm going to do it and see what happens. I'm not looked at any differently. You know what I mean? Like even some of the people I work with, they know what I'm doing now. Right. And not a lot of people agree with me, but I don't give a shit. And as soon as I started doing the podcast, I just felt completely liberated of my fear. So I'm just going to keep going down that road. You know what I mean?
Just keep plugging and ignore the trolls. Word of advice. Just to
go. Oh yeah.
Well, it's funny how that happens too, because when you finally once you start getting feedback, and you kind of get over whether or not the feedback is positive or not, but you see the positive feedback, it almost immediately, because this is going out to whoever the fuck wants to climb on. And those are words, like, you know what they say, once it's on the internet, it never comes back off. And it's like, once you kind of just accept that, I have found myself way, way more able to actually want to have conversations that are civil with people in real life because of the podcast, because most of the community that we talk to, they're like-minded. And we actually have quite a few people that we've had on the podcast and have been pretty good friends that are completely opposite of our viewpoints, but their mentality is the same. It's the idea that, yeah, we disagree, but that's okay. That's the non-militant side that the news doesn't show you, is that there are people out there that disagree with you that aren't assholes, just like we aren't. It's not like I'm going to sit there and tell you that you should die, like a lot of these people are today, where if you're not vaccinated, they literally think that you should die. And I'm like, no, nobody deserves that, including you, even though you think that. And I'm not going to say that to you, because that's a horrible thing to say to anybody. And there's a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, but you just, once you dig it out, your fear goes away. And then it's like, you're willing to have a conversation in person that a year ago, one, I didn't even think about, much less be willing to have a conversation of in real life.
Yeah. I'd love to have conversations with anyone, even if they disagree, as long as they're not saying fuck you and throwing dog shit at me or something, there's a lot of times people on video throwing eggs at a dude, the California.
Larry Elder.
There you go. Yeah.
Somebody in like a fucking dumb hat or mask or something throwing an egg at him. It's like, what the fuck is your problem? Go home, stupid. Get a job or something.
Most vaccinated people I know, we know lots of vaccinated people. We don't hate them and they don't hate us. And the reasons that they got vaccinated wasn't to be the like top social justice warrior of the year. It's because they didn't want to wear a mask at work or for other reasons that had to do with their jobs, like keeping their job. And it wasn't a decision that was like, obviously, I'm definitely doing this. It was just kind of like, well, I have to feed my family, so I'm just going to do this. It was more ignorance, like not ignorance, just indifference, I should say. Yeah. They didn't care either way. And none of them are like, everyone has to be vaccinated or die. Like, I don't know a single person like that. I think that's what the news wants us to think.
It's
that.
Way
they want us to be
proportion,
polarized. Yeah.
Actually, I do know some people like that. Yeah.
No, that's
crazy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my uncle is like that, but
oh yeah, I forgot.
But to your point, these people are very far and few in between. I would agree.
Right. I hope.
Yeah, but yeah, my uncle's pretty gnarly.
Oh, that's awful. Like, I can't believe that. That's awful. No, it's all right.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say when you guys were talking about you know, you guys have kind of started to open up your minds a little bit, and it's been recently, and you guys have started on this journey. I guess I'll start with a false reality check. I kind of want to hear both of your guys's journeys into how you got to being able to start seeing through the bullshit. And I mean, go back as far as you guys want. I know that Joe and Jen have been probably the biggest proponents to being able to get me. And Joe always gets me to do shit I don't want to do. Let's be real. But at the same, he's older brother. He's like, do it. But at the same time, it's always been one of those like them and my girlfriend, they very generously and kindly kind of just fed me crumbs. And you hear it on a lot of podcasts. You can't just sit there and download a bunch of shit into someone and expect them not to tweak out and be like, nope. Like,
you got to do it with reptilians. Absolutely.
No, you sure can't. You can't sure can't
off with clones. Like, you gotta slowly bring
flat earth is definitely a no-go. Don't
start with that. And that's a whole other subject, but
you got to start with like stuff like that's going on. I think that's why this last year has been so crazy for that, because it was in your face and it was something people had to decide and like figure out themselves, and it was a lot easier to kind of like work your tentacles in, you know, and be like, hey, have you ever thought about flat earth?
And I share your guys's, you know, journey in that of it being recent. I don't know how recent it is, but for me, it's been all in the last year. I went from being very militant in what I believed. I believed that for 30 years. I wasn't going anywhere in what I believed. And then as things happened, that all started to change. I'm wearing fucking crystals around me right now. And I never thought for a million years that I would ever fucking do that. So like, the little things like that, I would love to hear from you guys. How did you guys not just get started in, you know, the podcasting industry, but how did you guys finally come to, both of you as a couple and individually, how did you guys start to kind of transcend from the mainstream narrative that obviously we all grew up with and were fed and slowly, you know, slow boiled as a frog into being what you guys are today?
Oh, man. I guess for me, I've always had a feeling that there's something more to this life. Like, it can't all be go to school, get into debt, buy a house, get into debt, go to a job for 9 hours, 10 hours a day, you know, come home, have maybe a few hours for, like, there's more to that. So I've always had that in the back of my mind, but still keeping in the matrix, keeping going on this path that I pretty much laid forth for myself. You know, I can't turn back now, that I'd be some kind of loser. So that was my mindset. So
you can't barf up the red pill,
right? Yeah. So I guess what really launched me into this whole new way of thinking, was our first mushroom trip in 2017. That just, it opened my eyes to something beyond, like, there's a veil that gets lifted and you can see frequencies, vibrations, just something around this world that you can't see when you're sober, I guess.
Everything seems fake. That I always noticed that too. And a really gnarly mushroom trip, everything around me looked fucking fake. Like, even the trees and shit, which is weird. Yeah. That's where you're supposed to trip, is in nature. But technically, I mean, usually it's in our house, but allegedly. But even going outside, some of the stuff, everything just looks like plastic.
It looks brighter. It looks, it looks weird. Created. It looks something. Yeah, it looks different. And then you also at the same time feel invincible in a way, like, oh, I'm in like the heart of the game, like I'm in the code right now, so I can kind of like fly if I want to. Not really, but you know,
I was just about to say, that's why people try to fly off of buildings and don't see.
Did you lose your fear of death after that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. After a few more trips, you know, it's gone. It's pretty much gone.
Yeah, it was incredible to kind of, it was just a simple experience. One friend brought him over and we sat, listened to music and watched the popcorn ceiling turn into fractals. That's pretty much it. But it was remarkable in that, you kind of wake up to, we aren't the end all be all. It's not just material, it's spiritual, it's everything. And then
it's not as black and white.
Exactly. Everything is different shades of gray. And I woke up then, I had already been looking into like liberty and kind of anarchy and that kind of political stance, and got a little involved in the Libertarian Party. Then I pulled back out because I realized, oh, they're full of shit too. So I just jumped out, and we kept tripping every so often. We did it like, I don't know, every 6 months or so to like kind of rejoin the source. And now I've got crystals too. Here's my selenite.
Nice.
What about you, Davey? You like the old fungus?
I've only done it one time, but I did do acid when I was 14 years old.
Ooh.
Holy shit.
Dude, honestly, it was the first drug I ever tried, even before weed.
Damn, you my are buddy, hardcore.
It's a big door to open.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, after that, it was like, that was like a huge seed planted in for me, like later on, once I just started discovering all the conspiracies and shit and whatnot, you know what I mean? And it was just natural for me to progress towards where I am now after doing that.
I started, I guess you could say, that journey pretty young. I've told the story a million times, I'm sure, but just growing up like me and Ben did, super religious, it kind of forced me to question things because there was a lot of inconsistencies. No offense again to Christians. We love you. But there's a lot of I can't say that word, so fuck it, whatever.
Inconsistencies.
There's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's at least once.
You're not even drunk yet.
I know.
Jesus.
But, so yeah, we started kind of questioning stuff early, just as far as religion goes, and that just spiraled out from there. And Ben finally jumped on the crazy train last year. It was funny when we started, I was talking to him about the George Floyd thing, and I was like, dude, there's some wonky shit going on. He's like, no, some asshole cop that killed a black guy, that's it. I'm like, oh my God. And then we started the podcast, and I think he's changed his mind on that a little bit.
Well, yeah, actually. Quite a bit, and pretty much everything else. And this, I've said this a million times on the show, is that it's not so much that I believe any of the things that we talk about wholeheartedly. That is not the point. The point is that I am now finally open to entertaining it as a possible and plausible solution and answer to everything that somebody has questioned. Because the minute that you get to the center, the minute that you get to the point where you can do a 360-degree rotation and go, I don't know which one's fucking real. Guess what? Any information now that comes in is a possibility. And that alone blew my mind. The fact that I was able to entertain anything as a possibility, that alone blew my mind. And of course, Joe had been asking me for years, you know, you want to try the fungus? And I'm like, no, because I don't like my brain the way that it is. Actually, I don't like my brain the way that it is, but I really wouldn't like my brain on psychedelics. And I hit about, I mean, 2020 was a hell of a year for everybody, and you know, COVID and you know, global shit aside, it was just a hell of a year for personal shit for a lot of people. I finally got, I hit my 30th birthday last year, and I went, let's try shrooms, let's try it. And we ended up doing this over about 9 months, and then I didn't end up actually peaking until a couple of months ago, and it scared the shit out of me, so I haven't done it again.
Literally. Like, quite literally.
I blew up his bathroom
for 30 seconds, okay? 30 seconds of poo. He lost his soul in the toilet whilst peeking on mushrooms for the first time.
The bathroom's also next to our bedroom.
I heard.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying and they have wood floors.
You just hear this. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
It was amazing. It was okay.
So to be fair, that particular style of mushroom, also known as penis envy, which I understand I was a little envious, was that if for whatever reason it doesn't settle with me, like we had a little bit last night and I was farting the rest of the night. So for whatever reason, that shroom doesn't really mix with me, but it also fucks me up. So there was nothing in that bathroom while shitting my brains out, peeking for the first time at 30 years old that wasn't moving. And that blew my mind. I wouldn't say that I had a come to Jesus
moment. It wasn't so
spiritual.
Yeah.
It wasn't spiritual at all. That's what freaked me out, is that it was all mental. And I knew enough to not freak out. But when I came back down, it was probably about 4 hours after I came back down the final time. It's funny how you can consciously know that that's the last time you're done peaking, even though you've never done it before. It's like, oh, it's over. I can tell.
It's like landing back on the earth and you're like,
right.
I am not insane. Awesome.
And as soon as that hit, it was like 2 or 3 in the morning and I ended up going to sleep. And the next day I woke up and I went, you know, that was okay, but I don't think I want to go farther with it. And I didn't really like it in hindsight. And I like
under different circumstances.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Like I did. Well, it depends on what we get. I don't mind the clarity. I don't mind the wanting to talk, that pre-psychedelic yawn that you can get to. It's after that. It's when things actually hit. And even though I know it's not real and I can dissimulate between the reality and the shrooms while doing it, I'm like, it's not my bag.
You don't need to do it again because you know what it's all about, and you know that right. It expands your mind, and you're like, yeah, I'm good now.
Yeah,
right. And I prefer to do that sober.
We were just trying to like microdose for a bit too, just, you know, a little bit, you know, here and there. But yeah. I think the mushrooms have told me they're pretty much done with me. Every time I eat one, yeah, it makes me farty. It fucks up my stomach a little bit, which they do, but usually when you eat a lot of it, but it makes me, yeah, it's just weird now. I don't know. I don't think I could get to that threshold again. And I really don't need to after that acid trip. So good.
Is it just the type of mushroom you think that's doing it? Is it, have you always done penis envy?
I get the shits with mushrooms. You know this. I get the shits with mushrooms.
We're getting open now. Keep talking. Yeah,
I thought that was like a normal thing. It's called like mushroom shits, right? Like you have to go take a shit right in the middle of the trip, and then the trip peaks and you're sitting there and you're looking at the carpet and you see the eyes and the faces and whatever the hell else you see.
I would literally never have taken mushrooms again after the first time if that was the case.
out of your body.
The last thing I want to do when I'm having a trip is shit.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of responsibility there. And then you don't want to be responsible for anything in that moment. Like, well,
you wouldn't even like the whole shit. You probably wouldn't even like remember to wipe your ass after.
Right.
You're like,
okay, get me off this fucking thing.
Under the steps.
So I definitely made sure that I wiped. But it wasn't that scared me. It was afterwards because it's all about vibes. I was terrified to turn around after flushing and make sure that I cleaned up anything. I was like, I got to do it. And so I did it. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know what's in this toilet. Even though I flushed, it was weird thing because I was peeking for the first time. I'm like, I don't know what's in this toilet. I know I flushed it, but I don't know what's in there.
He's like, well, how did an abortion get in
what
here?
What were the possibilities in your mind? What was going through your mind as the possibilities, though, that could be in there? Like a sea monster or like what?
Well, to be fair, I just got rid of the sea monster. But no, when I got up, and again, me and my girlfriend actually talked about this directly after the shit. I walked out, and they have Joe and Jen have an awning, and I was outside smoking, and I went, oh, it's nighttime. And it's a clear night. Everybody says you should go look at the stars. So I walked out and I looked up and I went, whoa, up in the stars. And I immediately went, mm-mm, and I walked back underneath the awning and didn't walk out again. So my girlfriend comes outside and we're talking about the differences in how we're receiving information. And for her, it was a lot like Joe's experience, where it's like the glows and the hues and the changing of colors and breathing and stuff like that and patterns. That is not how I trip. So for me, it was very distinct lines of what I was seeing separating. So like their tile floor is just, you know, regular tile floor, but the colors within the tile floor all separated, where I looked like I was looking at glass with three different colors and they were all moving like water independently. It fucking tripped me the fuck out.
Looking at when I got the code. No,
it was too vivid. And that wasn't even that much that I took. And I was like, oh, I don't need more. Never again, no, actually.
Like it was a hero's dose. He didn't take 5 dried grams in silent darkness. He took like maybe 2 grams in tea. And he did that.
Oh, because it was tea. And you were like, don't worry. Sorry.
You just envy it strong. It's super strong.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's like the best one. We like that one. Ben was like, I never get high though. I never get fucked up. I've never tried it before. You hadn't.
And the mushrooms were like.
And then I think, was that the day that you came out and you're like, dude, I was so scared. There's paracord on your floor and I thought it was a snake. And I'm
no,
like,
no, that wasn't the same day.
Telling me. Okay.
No. So basically what happened is we had just, I don't know what the kind was. It was regular stuff. And I had been taking it periodically, just microdosing and getting that clarity buzz and just kind of enjoying it. Well, at one point our cousin, gave me like this much in the bottom of a bag and I ate all of it in a night. And I didn't feel shit. And so
those
I'm like,
shit. Yeah,
they were shit mushrooms. Awful. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, that's fucking fine. And Joe's like, well, we're going to get you some good stuff and I'll make tea out of it. I'm like, all right, I got this shit. And I'm all fucking cocky and stuff. So I drink 2 glasses of it and I was wrong.
Did you eat an edible that night too?
I sure did not. But the paracord night was funny because I would just got done saying on these shit mushrooms, I just got done saying, I have never tripped this, that, and the other. Well, I went and took a piss in their bedroom, and as I walked out, they had this paracord wrap on Joe's nightstand. And for just a hot second, as I walked out, I saw it, and I was like, oh, shit, that looks like a snake. And then I went, oh, it's not, it's paracord. And I walked out, and it's I would have, to be fair, I would have made the same mistake sober, but at the same time, it was like, okay, all right, maybe it was the shrooms. I don't know. I had never had that kind of thing happen on those mushrooms before. But long story short, the penis envy just, it cured me from wanting to get to that level again.
I got to keep my buttons up because you keep saying to be fair.
To be fair.
To be fair.
Well, to be fair.
I had to do it.
So Buffalo and Legs, did you guys have any crazy trip experiences that you can share with us?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We did have one where he mismeasured the dose and we got more than... We did, were expecting.
We did double the amount.
I thought you were going to say something completely different to mismeasured. Continue.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
So, yeah, I don't even know.
12 inches.
Oh.
Like, oh, fuck, I mean 12 grams. God damn it.
Oh, my God. Man. That's hilarious.
But, yeah.
You're going to go to Pound Town on the fuck truck. All right, go ahead.
So what happened when you guys took double the amount that you were expecting? When did you realize that you had taken double? Was it immediately or was it like halfway through the trip?
It wasn't until after, because the trip came on so hard.
Yeah, we made a tea out of it. And oh, yeah.
No, this was when we did the pills. This is when we did the
just
pills.
Kidding.
Ooh,
yeah, I made the pills and I can't be trusted when you do that. So, I did way too much, and yeah. we were planning on doing two. We did four, and the universe started to fall apart.
Yeah, we were laying down on the floor, listening to music, just looking up at the ceiling. And for me, I just had this rush just come in to my chest, and the ceiling literally just fell apart and shattered. And I was just laying there like, okay, I think this is more than definitely more than last time, because this did not come on so quick. This did not happen last time. And then all of a sudden I'm just laying there trying to calm down, you know, and I just hear him next to me rolling,
writhing in pain.
He rolls into like fetal position and just starts like screaming and just
my bones
losing his shit.
My bones felt like glass. Like I felt like any movement and I was gonna break a bone. And then I was like writhing in pain and just rolling. My dog's eyes, one was big, then small, then big, then small. It was like a Ren and Stimpy cartoon. And then she looked at me like, calm down, you know, like relax. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God, I have to shit. And then I go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom to take
sounds
a
like
shit.
Me.
And I shit out my soul. And everything just kind of collapsed, and she had to take care of me.
Yeah, he was in the bathroom for probably like half an hour, and I was like periodically just like checking on him, and he was just zoned out on looking, staring at the floor, just like.
What's funny is I've heard stories similar to that where you go, because it's right after you take that shit that you empty your soul out, and you go, okay, I'm in a position here, I'm extremely frying, and I should probably take a shower. But that sounds terrifying. Yeah. I don't know which one I should do right now.
Shit no. And then shower.
Did you guys learn from this experience, or were you just, did you learn to measure better next time? Like, did you learn something else though besides that? Did you learn like a life lesson from it?
Yeah, I learned for myself, if I'm in a serious situation or if I need to take care of someone while I'm on mushrooms, I can snap out of it and handle that shit. And pretty then awesome. Once he was handled and I was fine with the situation, I like was let myself come back into the trip, and I was able to enjoy the rest of it. That's what I learned.
Have we all learned tonight though that our shit has a huge connection to our soul?
I think so.
No, for real, that is for real. This whole past week I've one Innerverse podcast is one that we follow pretty closely, and we're in their Telegram chat, and they've been talking about how important it is to do a colon cleanse, because you'll find pills in there from like so many years ago. Just
you need
to get out of your body, and it could be a spiritual experience.
You need to shit your soul.
Yeah, it'd be a fucking spiritual experience. Are you kidding me? That's a come to Jesus moment right there.
Yeah, dude.
You're emptying everything that keeps you alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. I've seen that there's a place on my delivery route, actually. It's called Healing Waters colon hydrocleanse. I think it's where they shove water up your butt and then it's supposed to get everything out. But
that's the
most. We talked about poop for way longer than usual. Sorry, everybody.
Nonsense.
Not way longer than usual, to be fair.
We did actually have a whole show about shitting your pants, so I can't say much. Do you guys, there's a lot of people that think that mushrooms or, you know, psychedelics in general, they're just a molecule that affects the chemistry in your brain and that's all it's doing. But I am of a different opinion. I don't know if it's as much as like connecting you to source or something, but it's doing something.
What if it's a way to communicate with other life forms? I don't know. I think it's
I've talked to our cats.
Like, unlocks a language. Yeah, I was talking to the cat, but I was like selfishly talking to it. I knew it wasn't going to talk
Jen,
back.
I love you. Your head is always so far above in the idea of being able to connect with things. Like that wouldn't even be something that I would think about. And I swear to God, if it happened, I would shit my pants again. Because the idea of even contacting something else that I don't even know is out there is one of those like, okay, well, I've again had way too much and I need to not be here anymore. But I think it's hilarious because you always seek it out. It's almost inspirational that you always are looking for that stuff, because I would be absolutely fucking terrified.
I'm like, oh, are we living in a sci-fi movie right now? Because that would be amazing.
Am I just green code?
Well, that could be what's happening. What I do know is that we don't know what's really going on. That's really all I know.
Like, if you take mushrooms, are you hacking the green code or is the mushroom hacking your green code?
Right, exactly. See, I love that.
Wow. Well, and that's a commonality. That's a commonality. We're watching on... I don't know if any of you guys have the Gaia plugin for streaming. So they have, it's a particular channel. You can get it on like Amazon Prime and stuff. They have a lot of the outside the box interviews and miniseries about aliens and things of that nature. One that we're watching right now is Escaping the Matrix with David Icke. And it's a whole series where his come to Jesus moment. I don't know why we talk about Jesus when we say that. I shouldn't say that anymore. When you come to Mother Earth and have that, his thing was he was in a tribal setting and he did ayahuasca. And so that he had just a blow through mental trip all the way to the point where he started like he said, it wasn't a voice, but he started having gnarly mental intuitions to go do shit. And at one point he was talking about the connectivity between, you know, the electromagnetic and the fields and the earth. And he was out in another country and he had this strong intuition to go stand over by this like rock form. And so he walked over there and he said that he felt like his feet were burning and he couldn't move them. And then he started feeling wind and it was a clear, hot day. And he remembers thinking or kind of hearing the idea that he should stretch his arms out and connect. And when he did that, he goes, it was like, all I could say is like, it was like getting electrocuted without the pain. It was just all of the energy coming in. And I heard something else that say, this will be over when the rain comes. He goes, I was frozen in like this energetic time capsule. He goes, and I shit you not, about 10 minutes later, the fastest stream of downpour water with clouds came rolling in. And the second that the water hit my face, it was over with. And he was like, it was, and this is a guy who worked for the BBC News. He was, I forget some of his other credentials, but he's very, like a lot of the guests that we've had on, he's very well resumed. And
David Icke.
Yeah.
He used to be a soccer player as well.
Yes. And he talks about that in the first episode. I would highly recommend it because everything that we're talking about when it comes to drug use and this idea of kind of opening up your mind and it being a life-changing experience is the most singular pattern that I have heard from almost everybody that we've talked to and listening to documentaries, is that they end up trying something outside the box. It blows their mind wide open. And the next thing you know is they're experiencing the most crazy shit that they never even thought was real or they shit on or things of that nature.
That's what I chalk it up to. I don't know what I missed when I was peeing. I'm sorry. I have the bladder of a child, but That I chalk it up to that. Like, I don't care if it's just a molecule affecting your brain or if it's actually like an antenna for something else. I know what happened the first time I did it, and that was real. So
we like saw the same thing in our heads. That was like, oh, I think that, we've yeah. told
oh,
it
tell
on,
that story.
Where, well, we were just laying in bed. Like we were laying in bed. Like I was like cowering. Like I don't do well when I have hard trips. So I'm calm. I didn't like need assistance. I just was.
She
very
does
quiet.
Like to punch shower curtains.
Oh yeah, when they move, they only move when I make them move.
When the
That's
shower curtains
story.
Talk shit, you gotta check them.
I was pissed because I thought it was moving, and I was like, "Are you moving?" And then I realized I was talking to the shower curtain, and then I punched it and was like, "You move when I say you move." And then I was like, "Okay, I'm losing my shit. I gotta go."
Holy
I gotta
fuck! Because
I was like, "I'll show it what's up." Like that's how I was thinking. Like that was my mentality at that point. And then I kind of came down and was like, okay, you're acting like a fucking retard. Let's leave. So, Joe and I were laying in bed, though, and we were kind of looking at things around the room. Things looked really strange, whatever. It was dark. And then we both closed our eyes. We were trying to sleep. And I was seeing these cartoon creatures that were growing and moving and then melting and then dying and then forming into a new one. And it happened over and over and over. And it was very strange. I actually found a picture online that looks exactly almost what I saw. And then Joe says to me, so I was about to say this to him, but I'm like, it sounds a little fucked up. Like, and we're about to go to sleep, but I couldn't stop watching it because it was so interesting. And then Joe goes, babe, I'm seeing all these like cartoon creatures like create and melt. And I was like, me too. Like, it was so scary.
Gosh,
it was
5 o'clock in the morning after really, 12 yeah. straight hours of tripping.
But it was just odd because I was like going back and forth with whether or not I should even say that to him. And then he said the exact same thing to me. And I was like, what the fuck did we just take?
The best That's thing I can compare it to is, you know, on Beavis and Butthead, the movie, when they take the shrooms in the desert
yeah.
And,
yeah.
and all that. That's what it was when I shut my eyes. I was seeing all that and I was like, oh my God, oh, I'm crazy. Yeah.
Which actually brings me to a question when it comes to your guys' trip as a couple. Obviously, if you dive into the chemical background of psilocybin and you go to the certain regions that certain mushrooms are produced, they've looked at the ecosystem underground and how it talks to basically the whole forest wide and things of that nature. It's that kind of like hive mind consciousness.
The mycelial network and all that shit. Yeah.
And all that shit. Have you guys had any experiences or Dave when in any of your experiences, whether it be with mushrooms or not, have you guys experienced any of that hive mind thing like Joe and Jen were just talking about where you guys are experiencing something and then simultaneously unbeknownst to you, they're also experiencing the same thing in the vicinity?
I have not, but I've heard that that's not really supposed to happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Like, nobody can share the same hallucinogenic experience.
It happens frequently.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, I've heard multiple stories. You can actually just Google it. And obviously, you're going to have to weed through a lot of the bullshit. And how you do that is up to you, whether or not you want to believe it or do your fact checking. But it has been definitely something that has, especially, again, that 6 foot that, you know, they talk about 6 foot social distancing. We've gotten into it with the electromagnetic fields and how that plays into it and shit. And it's when you're within close proximity, if something like psilocybin, which can talk to other plant matter in a forest wide, and you're both doing it at the same time in the same set and setting, why would that not be possible?
True, true. Have you guys ever heard of a comedian named Shane Moss?
Yeah, from the Psychonaut.
Yeah.
He's so fucking hilarious.
That was the best little documentary. I loved it.
He was telling a story about how when he was taking DMT, I think it was DMT. Yeah, DMT. And he had this experience where he was tripping and he met this purple lady. And this purple lady was like telling him, oh, we love it when you're here. We love this, right? And then he kind of stopped taking it for a bit and he kind of asked other people what their experiences were, right? And without telling this one guy about what his experience was, he came up to him and he said, Shane, like I was doing DMT and like this purple lady was there and she said, can you tell Shane to come back? We miss him.
Oh, I remember that story. I remember.
Yeah, dude. That fucking blew my mind, dude. I was like, whoa.
I got goosies now.
No, because yeah, creatures around us, there's stuff going on around us all the time. We don't know what it is, but there has to be something that we can't see. And that's why it's so easy, I think, to hurt us like cattle. They can kind of convince our brains because we're just either missing something or we have something different than the other realms do, I guess, where they can kind of convince us or just keep us in this little narrow-minded.
I think that's the whole purpose of illegalizing drugs is when you know that you can open your mind, and this has been something widely talked about. It has been something like we're doing tonight. It's not even so much as beating a dead horse, because all of those experiences are so incredibly unique that it's like you can't really talk about those enough. That's what changes your life. And so you hear these things, and it's like, that's the reason why they don't want us taking it. Anyway,
yeah, and it's also relatively new as of what, 1970 or whenever they signed the drug thing in. And have you guys looked into the whole World's Fair Tartaria shit lately?
Or recently? Yeah, dude. Yeah. Matt is definitely posting a lot of stuff.
We're having him back on soon because he's got a lot more.
Well, hold on.
That guy is so intelligent, and like the way he just like gathers all the information and very coherently puts it together. It's amazing.
Really quick though, I did want to hear from False Reality Check on whether or not you guys have had any of those synchronicities.
I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't think we've had any in our trips. They've been kind of far and few in between. But I will say we have noticed more synchronicities as of late, just with
afterwards.
Just with our trying to live an abundant life, our choices and we're choosing
certain things coming up repeatedly, or certain numbers, or certain things happening where like you think in your mind, oh, I wish this was going to happen, or I wish I could find this thing. And then the next thing you know, boom, you find it, or you get something in the mail that confirms something. So yeah, like I have them all the time now.
We just had that conversation with Jeff, the Hatter, a couple of weeks ago, how he's talking about, you cannot manifest anything in real life before it isn't manifested in your brain. It starts up here way before it comes in here. And, you know, they teach us the exact opposite, but if that's what you're going for, it needs to be up here first. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how those things start to happen. You go, oh shit, maybe I should pay attention to that. Fuck.
Yeah, that's exactly what
always happens. Pay attention to the synchronicities. Always.
You know, what's really fucked up for me is that most of the synchronicities that I experience have to do with people's personalized license plates.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you.
It's unique.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but I was telling a friend a story about something. I forget what it was, but we walked by this one car and I pointed at the license plate and both of us were like, are you fucking serious? Like, I don't remember what it said or what the story was, but it absolutely synchronized with what we were talking about, like within a couple minutes. And it happens to me frequently.
Cool. You should write them all down.
I should. Yeah.
A journal of your synchronicities, even if they're like kind of mundane seeming, if it happens all the time, it might add up to something important, you know.
What do you guys think about that with dreams and dream work and shit like that? Do you write your dreams down? If I could remember mine better, I would try, but most of the time I just wake up going, what the fuck was that?
Do you have a journal that takes up gigabytes on your phone like I do?
I don't write down my dreams because I remember most of them. How fucked up is that?
Well, no, it's not fucked up to remember them. It's just fucked up to remember them in the great detail right after you so it's hard to remember all of those little details, right? You know, like how you remember it right as soon as you wake up, and you can remember the whole dream, but throughout the day, you're going to forget some parts. So I write them down immediately just so I can remember those tiny little details in case they're important. But do you have any cool dreams, Davey Wavy? Oh,
any that came through?
No, nothing really prophetic, I don't think, but I do remember when I was oh my God, I have so many fucking vivid dreams, man, that I remember. I'll never forget them. It's crazy. I remember this one in particular where I was running away from these men in black guys, and they were after me for some reason. I don't know why, but I ran to my car and I went to the back seat, and I opened the door to the back and I saw, you know, remember those toys back in the day? It was like you pull the string and it says a cow says moo.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I love those.
So I pulled the string and when I pulled the string, like I was still panicking from these guys chasing me, and I pulled the string and it went backwards and it went like something, it was like a backwards voice. It was like,
right? Oh my god.
Yeah, dude. And it's something in my brain.
Really well.
Yeah, that was really good.
I do know how to pronounce words backwards and shit. That was something I was talking
about. Okay, perfect.
Okay, so that's weird. Yeah.
I know, it's a thing I have anyway. anyway, once that backwards message came in, something clicked in my brain and I was like, it was kind of like the Matrix. I knew how to fly, and all of a sudden I just went and I fucking flew right up in the air and I ditched those fucking men in black.
That's awesome.
Huh. Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was crazy, man. I was,
you
like,
know that they were actually there, right?
Probably.
I do think we go to other dimensions when we dream, and frequently in my dreams. I did not notice this until I started telling Joe the exciting dreams. I don't tell him all my boring old dreams, but if I have a crazy cool one, I'm like, so I had this dream that these guys were chasing me and shooting arrows through, and I was taking a shower, so I was super vulnerable and it was super annoying, and I had to like run and grab my clothes and do this. And then I will tell him a dream that's very similar. And he's like, you know, your dreams, you're running away from people like every single dream. Like every single one, there's like an emergency situation where you're fleeing for your life.
Always high intense.
I know, and I'm like, oh yeah,
my dreams are just, I tell her, like, most of the time I'm just confused in my dreams, and it's not that I'm lucid dreaming, because I don't, but I kind of, where I'm in the dream going, what the fuck is this, when did we get a blue house with a red door, like where, but in the dream I'm like, but this is my house and I guess this is where I live.
I have dreams that we live in buildings a lot, like with a lot of people, where it's kind of like a hotel where there's a lot of doors and there's people that also live there, and I know them and they're my friends, and it's totally normal. That's how everyone lives.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
Obviously.
Jen, that's so weird you say that. I've been having dreams like that lately where I'm really? Just these random group of people, but I feel like I'm connected to them. And
oh, yeah.
We're like fleeing something, or we're trying to just travel to some destination. So that's interesting you say that.
Right from podcasting. We're all in this weird group of people with
right. We're all in a virtual boat together.
We're all sinking our matrix minds together.
I think
and
so.
We are fleeing something. We're fleeing at this point I would just call it something evil. But I don't know. You can call it the cabal, you can call it the reptilians, whatever. It's just fucking evil, whatever it is.
I can tell you another crazy story about a dream.
Yeah.
I was very deep into Bible study, and I was going through this phase where I was like, okay, I can't be sinning. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Of course. No sinning.
Yeah.
Sinning's like
yeah,
the word.
Dude. I went through this really deep Bible study phase. And while I was doing that, I had a very vivid dream where I was standing on top of a hill. I was wearing these white robes. And there was like four or five other guys standing next to me with the white robes on. And we were looking down the hill and there was this building. So we went down to the building and it was a video game arcade. And we went inside and there was like all these like bunch of punks and riffraff and like scum of the earth in there, right? And all of us, we looked around at all these guys and we just all opened our mouths simultaneously. And we went, it was like, I could feel it and I could hear it very vividly. And it was like, whoa. And it was like a big, huge golden beam of light came out and just evaporated all these people.
You're like, no video games for you. Skateboarding's illegal.
I was gonna say, fuck,
no, littering.
Fuck your quarters. WWJD. Light them on fire and send them to hell.
That's what it was like, dude. It was crazy. And when I woke up, I'm like, holy fuck, did that just happen?
That's like, weird.
You fucking
wild,
killed
man.
People with your mouth
beam. It's like
beam.
The War of the World.
Yeah, dude.
You are a mouth beam. Interesting dude, Davey. This is pretty cool.
You're a dream.
I thought your Instagram page was fire, but now, I mean, you're literally... Yeah, on fire.
Do you guys have any ghost stories or any paranormal stuff I've been trying to do for Sunday shit shows just because it's around Halloween time? I'm not super into like ghosts or anything. I don't know. Everything's fucking weird.
You should
so
pull up
knows,
those ones, you're, the weird internet
I was,
ones.
Yeah, I was reading some weird internet stories, but I want to hear some people's personal, if you have any personal weird experiences with like paranormal. It can be aliens or ghosts or I don't care. What is it? Go.
Oh, man. I mean, we talked about this a little bit in our earlier show, so yeah. This is pretty awesome you bring it up.
Synchronicities.
He has like, yeah, for sure. He has some pretty good demon stories.
Maybe I should just say
I think you should share that
maybe
one.
Maybe I should just share it because I gave the gist on the show because I wanted to make it into its own little detailed thing, but fuck it. Talk about it. I met a demon. You want to hear about that?
Yeah.
All right. So I
hold on. I got to get my cross in holy water. Go ahead.
Hold on 1 second.
I need to say a prayer.
Oh, yeah. Let's put the Orgonite out. Let's put the Orgonite.
Oh, I have one. I just got it like last week.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if it does anything, but it looks cool.
What you know about Orgonite?
Did you order Orgonite from Lindsay?
No. Okay. So, fucking Jesus Christ. So I ordered this one off of her Facebook post. It's the middle one. Okay. That's Orgonite with a few other elements in it.
Yeah,
these two are from Mount Shasta. And then at the time that I ordered that the same day, I ordered an Orgonite pyramid. It's like a ball of Orgonite. Oh, Jesus, I'm getting all... Zuvith Christ. I got an Orgonite pyramid shit because when we went up to Mount Shasta, this very prestigious shop had a particular, what they call it, biogenesis pyramid in every single one of their containers. And so I asked him about what that was, and he kind of explained it. And then my nerdy ass went on a big old, you know, down the rabbit hole thing on what it all was. And so I ordered one, and I keep it here at my girlfriend's place. Yeah.
Get demon.
Anyway, demons, go.
All right, yeah, I wouldn't hear your story. I'm so sorry.
Demons. Okay, so I went to school. In high school, I got into the occult. I started learning about symbology and what like Freemason symbols mean, what Illuminati symbols mean. I was really into this kind of darker path, like Church of Satan type atheism, but it's not really atheism because it's, I feel like it's secretly worshiping the devil anyways. But I met this guy at school. I don't want to give his name, so I'll just call him Alex. Because he got into some off trouble after, so I don't want to go into that, but he was a nice guy, but he was really into the occult. I think he was in the Church of Satan or he did magic. I'm not really sure. He gave me a book on astral projections, so I started to learn some stuff from him. One night I was talking to him on the phone and I started to hear some scratching noises outside. And it's not unusual because we get these raccoons that'll just hug our tree and scratch the shit out of our tree. And it's not unusual, but when I looked, I turned the outside light on and I looked, all I could see was like a dark figure on a tree, but I didn't see any stripes. I didn't see, usually like possums have that wiry looking tail. I didn't see any of that. So I was like, whatever. I didn't think anything of it. And I just heard it scratching or like gnawing at the tree. I went and sat back down. I was talking to him and I just said, huh? And he's like, what's going on? I said, well, I heard something scratching at the tree, but I couldn't really tell what it is. We usually get raccoons. And he says, oh, hmm. And then I heard something release from the tree. And then my room was on the second floor. Something hit our wall. I'm not sure what it was. And I still don't really know if I believe what happened, but I know what I saw. And I felt like something was boom, boom, boom on the wall. And all I could see, because I turned the light off, were these two red eyes like came up like outside my window, like were looking at me. Some red eyes shit that you would see at like Disneyland. Like I didn't think that stuff was real.
Like and LEDs?
So it's a
village people.
Robot eyes.
They look like LEDs, like something you see at a
pedophile.
It was Joe Biden.
God.
I was just about to say it's Joe Biden. Oh my God.
Your head?
He's like,
did he ask to smell your hair?
He's like, here's my legs.
He was telling me about his leg hairs.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I went quiet on the phone and he said, huh, are you seeing him? And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, shadow, he protects me. And I thought, what the fuck are you talking about? He said, I have a demon that I keep on to protect me. And he's just checking you out.
Standby in case you need it.
Yeah.
And he's just checking you out. He said that while you were on the phone watching it.
And I was like, I was like, what the fuck? Do I hang up? And I'm like, I don't want to piss this guy off. If he's
you're like, oh, no, I'll do whatever you say.
Yes, sir. That sounds wonderful. Have a great night. Please leave your demon dog at home next time.
Oh, okay, get him, Joe.
Yeah, he freaked me out, and whatever it was, I saw the eyes like go down, like sink below the window line, and like a release came off the wall because you could hear something come off the wall. It seemed like it wasn't real, almost like it was a dream. I finished talking to him and I got off the phone as quickly as I could. The next morning, I checked the tree. It was all fucked up. It was all scratched up. There was bark peeled off of it. It didn't look like it was a raccoon, because my dad remarked on it. He's like, the hell hit the tree? Like, what was going on? Did you hear raccoons last night? And I was like, yeah, I heard raccoons. Yeah, it was raccoons.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So that's so funny that you say it seemed like a dream, because that's the part of us as humans that I think makes it easy to convince us of something. Right. When we see something that is unexplainable, instead of saying, wow, I've never seen this before, this is crazy, which you did. I'm not like discounting anything you did. We've done the same thing. We've had really weird experiences as well, where we're like, that's not real, you know, or whatever. It's just easy to just say it must be raccoons. It must be something else. It's just interesting that you say that.
You try to justify it.
Yeah.
In a natural way instead of a supernatural way.
Which,
yeah, that's
exactly what that David Icke guy was talking about, is that he was talking about how literally everything you touch, this is not a material world. Everything is nothing more than a projection of electromagnetic resistance that we see as solid material. It's all code. And once you see that, well, then that means anything you're not used to seeing is also coded. It's just, if it's not on the same frequency, well, then that means you're seeing it differently than what they see on their frequency. And so when those two kind of mesh, like those circles that you end up seeing, that little center part where it's a different color, you start to kind of go, oh shit, they're kind of blending into my frequency, but they're not all the way there. So the electromagnetic pulse of that isn't quite coming in clear picture for what my brain can decode. And at that point,
you're not programmed to receive it yet.
Exactly. And whether you want to talk about what the fucking gland shit, anyway, pineal gland, it's one of those, like, when you finally open yourself up to go, you know what, that's as real as the dreams, that's as real as what I am sitting on, it's as real as what I'm fucking eating and any of that shit, that's where you go, anything is fucking possible. And that is a hard thought to swallow. If I was in your shoes, I just would have gotten naked.
In front of it, just like,
yeah, I mean, it kind of made me a little horny.
Furiously jack off until it runs away.
Yeah. If you just see, if you got naked and started going like this and staring at the eyes, and the eyes were like, no, nope. It's not why I came here.
If it's a demon, it might be like, hey, buddy.
I came here to fucking scare you, not give you a hard on.
Yeah.
Scare you hard.
I'll show you where tentacle hentai comes from.
So did anything else happen after that? Was that it? Was that the end of it, though? It went away after that?
The only time I ever saw that. But I experienced other things with him. And maybe I'll put that in the show that I make.
Okay. No, that's...
Well, before we get out of here, guys, we appreciate you guys coming on. We're definitely going to have you back, obviously. David Wavy, we'll have to go into some like deep shit. Maybe we can have you on. We're having Matt back on, I think, November 4th. So
I'd love to get on with him. Like, him and I are pretty tight, so.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah.
And maybe you guys can join us, too, if you're into the old world's fairs, weird history, they told us lies all the time shit.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
We all are. Of course. Definitely. But give us your plugs before we get out of here. I'll start with you. False Reality Check. Sorry, I had to look at your name.
Buffalo and Legs.
I know. Don't forget. I was like, it's Buffalo and Legs, but what's your podcast? False Reality Check. God damn it. Give us your where we can find you and all your stuff.
So you guys can find all our stuff at falserealitycheck.com. We're on Rockfin. We're at Twitter at FRCpod. Instagram, the same. People can reach out to us at our email.
Yeah, our email is frcpodcast@protonmail.com. We also have a Telegram.
Yeah, t.me/falserealitycheck. Everybody's crazy in there, so everybody's welcome.
Yeah, just post whatever, hang out. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
You see the crazy people in our Discord. By the way, people,
our Discord's great, actually. I love all the people in our Discord.
Oh, no, it's awesome. I mean, you got Corey in there. You got a bunch of people just talking shit all the time.
But good shit, though. It's super cool. I don't even comment. I just read it, and then... I know they don't know that I'm reading it, but I'm like, I am so grateful for
you. I pop in every once in a while.
Sometimes I heart something.
Yeah. We're voyeuring.
Well, we're moderators. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, whatever. This is awesome. They're all talking. They're all having a good time. I'm glad we created this. That's
but
awesome.
You can
awesome.
Find the link to that in our Instagram page. We have a link tree and that's on there. Davey, where can we find your IAS?
You can find me at DaveyWavy2112 on Instagram, which is my shadow band account. Or you can go to at Red Pill Cartel Podcast on Instagram. And also at, what is it for Telegram? t.me/Red Pill Cartel.
All these weird fucking links. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Like, I can't even fucking comprehend it, but I can still memorize it somehow. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks to everyone in the live chat. What?
You can find my podcast on Spotify and Anchor right now. I'm trying to get it on Apple, but they're being a bitch. I don't know why. Like, I linked the account and everything. I
think you have to get vaccinated, it. Actually.
Oh, fuck. Well, I guess I'm not getting it on Apple then.
Only if you're Canadian. If you're Canadian, you have to be vaccinated.
Yeah, Canada has a block on that stuff, even electronically.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
Me either. It's clown world. Well, thanks, you guys. We will see you guys next time. And thanks, everyone in the chat. Thanks, everyone on audio. And
thanks,
happy
guys.
Birthday to Ben. Yeah.
Yay, happy birthday, Ben.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
You too. Thank you.
Guys.
Peace.